Hello and welcome to another edition of the HTXT AfriCast. It's Wednesday and that means that we gathered around some ill-shapen microphones to chat about tech and games and everything else that's happened in the week. Joining me in studio this week is Nick Cowan.
Well met.
And Sahil Lala.
How's it?
Well met. How's it? How's everybody doing this week?
You might want to have the microphone closer to you, Sahil, just so you don't have to lean across the table.
Yeah.
That helps. Yeah, it does help. Right. So it's...
Can we have a moment of silence, please, for the departure of Ben Brode?
Oh, yes. Poor Brode. Well, not poor. He decided to leave.
Yeah.
He made the decision on his own to leave.
Who's calling you?
Like, it's this not, happens it's every not a call. Single, every it, single is time. A, it is a alarm
single time,
clock.
Every
it's an alarm
time.
Clock to remind me that it's nearly 1 o'clock and I need to take lunch.
Okay.
So.
Too bad.
Too bad. I'm recording a podcast now.
Right.
That breaks the illusion of this completely, though.
Yeah.
Because now everybody knows that it doesn't go out. We don't record it at the time that we say we record it.
Well, it depends.
I don't know. We've broken that so many times, actually.
Yeah, we have.
To be honest.
We're kind of like the Deadpool of podcasts.
Yeah.
Breaking the fourth wall.
Exactly.
I know one particular listener, actually, out there who doesn't like Deadpool.
Oh, really?
All. Yeah.
Well, sorry for you. We love Deadpool. Mm,
okay. And she knows who she is. Anyway, so yes, Ben Brode has decided to leave and go off to pastures new after, was it 15 years?
Yeah.
15 years at Blizzard.
At Blizzard. So he made the announcement on Friday evening, like people do apparently.
Yeah.
Like, oh, everybody's clocked off for the day. I'm going to resign.
What, was it evening his time, though, or our time?
It's morning their time.
Wow.
So
he made it first thing Friday morning his
probably,
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, guys. But here,
bye.
But here it was evening.
10 o'clock, I think.
Yeah, about 10 o'clock. So
usually the time they used to unveil new cars.
If you don't know who Ben Brode is, he was the
game director
for Hearthstone. So I wouldn't say that he was solely responsible for the game, but I think a lot of the quality control and the ideas and that sort of stuff went through him.
He was certainly the face of the game.
Absolutely. I mean, if you've never seen Ben Brode, it's very easy to spot him in a crowd. He's tall, he's got a beard, he wears flannel shirts, and he has a laugh that is, there's no other way to describe
it's
it, iconic. But iconic. It is iconic. Yes, Nick, roll your eyes.
I'm not rolling my eyes.
Okay, all right.
I've met Ben Brode.
Oh,
okay.
Twice.
I don't want to hear about that, please.
It was really nice. It was really nice. And he really was nice when I said, because I said, what's your favorite class do you like playing? And he told me. And I said, oh, that explains a hell of a lot. And Hearthstone fans will know exactly which class I'm talking about.
Well, it depends, because now there's a new hated class in Hearthstone. Paladin is it now.
Oh, the bro paladin.
Dude Paladin.
Dude Paladin.
Yeah, but it's hot. It's Shaman, isn't it? He was a Shaman fan.
I cannot confirm or deny that. Or as Francis Urquhart used to say, you might think that, Brendan, but I couldn't possibly comment.
Okay. So, yes. But, so now the question becomes is where is Brode going? So I've heard
You
rumors.
Had a theory about this.
I have a theory, but it's been kind of... This morning I watched a video that kind of put it to bed. Apparently on Twitter he responded to a fan saying that he was going to start his own thing. But I suspected when I first heard the news, I was like, oh, he's going to Artifact. He's going to Valve. He's going to work on Artifact because that game is still being developed. I mean, it has been showed to a couple of people, but it's still very raw from what I've seen and the explanations that I've heard. So it was kind of obvious for me to go, oh, Artifact needs somebody like Ben Brode to kind of get people excited about it, because let's face facts, I mean, Ben Brode would get on stage or come onto your screen and you would be excited about whatever was happening. I think I've watched the Witchwood final card reveal stream about 3 times,
right,
just because he is so great to watch.
Yeah.
And I mean, so a couple of people at the weekend started bringing out tribute videos of like the best Ben Brode moments, and like him announcing League of Explorers and walking off stage and then walking back on stage with one of those hunting hats. What are they called?
Deerstalkers.
Not a deerstalker. It's like one of those olden days hunting hats. I don't know what it's called. I think it's called a palmet.
All right.
I think that. I might be horribly wrong. Walked out on stage. There's just so many moments that were like, oh, man, I'm really going to miss this guy.
Yeah.
He really was the face of the game.
Yeah. And they're going to struggle to replace. Well, maybe they won't. I don't know.
I don't know. Dave Kosak is quite he can be funny. I mean, he sometimes tries.
Yes, but you're
going
to expect him to rap about lore and.
No, I wouldn't expect him
exactly.
to do that.
Ben Brode kind of took Hearthstone and made it his own. And he will be missed. But I look forward to his next venture with interest.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, I hope that he stays in the card game space because I think he's got a knack for that. He's got a really good understanding of how they work and how to balance them. Because, I mean, something like Hearthstone is constantly in a state of flux. Mm. And
do you ever get the impression that maybe he left going, I don't understand this game anymore?
No, I don't think so. I did have a thought this morning thinking that maybe all the noise that was created after the release of the Witchwood and Shudderwalk, that kind of forced Blizzard to go, dude, do you know what you're talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, Shudderwalk is a new shaman legendary in the Witchwood expansion that has the card text, repeat all battle cries, played this game.
Mm.
And it makes way for some crazy one-turn kill combos, some crazy like value potential. It's a really terrible card, though, I believe.
Right.
I don't think it's that bad, as bad as some people say it is.
Well, no, but that's any game community. The moment you nerf something or tweak something or introduced something that throws established patterns out of whack or gifts an advantage to a certain class or whatever, people just kick off.
But anyway, I mean, I kind of had a thought that maybe that card made Blizzard go, listen, dude, okay, you need to stop pushing the envelope. And he was like, no. And they were like, okay, time for you to go. Obviously, that's probably not
true. Probably not what it happened.
Probably not what happened at all.
No.
But yeah, so I'm excited to see what happens. I know that he did have a hand in the next three expansions that we're getting in Hearthstone.
Wow.
Because he has mentioned it in interviews and that sort of thing. So he isn't gone from the game forever. And I do hope that Hearthstone kind of immortalizes him.
Gives him a Brode card.
Yeah. Or just make turn a card into him. Like
cost one, 10/10, with a taunt, divine shield, wind fury, and if you kill him, he returns immediately.
Okay, I'm really glad that you don't design cards for Hearthstone because
I'm just saying that's what the Brode card would be. Anyway, moving on from Hearthstone.
Yes.
I played a game for review last week.
Called?
God of War.
Oh.
Which everybody who has a child on Twitter who happens to be male is calling
Dad of War.
Yes.
Which is so original. Such an original species. As you say that, I open Twitter. Dad of War.
There you go. So yeah.
What is it like? So is it like the crazy button mashing thing from your...
No. If you button mash this, you're going to die.
Okay.
And you're going to die pretty quickly. okay, so God of War basically sees Kratos and his irritating son Atreus in the north of Midgard, having forsaken Greece. If you don't know what happened in the previous God of War games, he killed his dad, and I don't care if I'm spoiling it for you.
Kratos killed his dad.
Kratos killed his dad, okay. Zeus. And
cool.
He's now on the lam. And his wife has just died, and her final kind of wish was her ashes to be scattered from the highest point in all the realms. So he and his son put her ashes in a bag and head off up the mountain.
Okay.
Which is harder said than done. Because along the way, they're going to meet awful beasties, they're going to meet some interesting characters, and they're going to get into lots and lots of fights with some enemies which are quite small, some of which are the size of a small building. but that's kind of God of War's thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead
of having the Blades of Chaos, which if you've never played God of War before, they were a pair of swords that were chained to the wrists of Kratos.
And yeah.
You could actually like pirouette and swing through these huge clusters of enemies like, you know, a pretty lethal fan. Instead, you've got a kind of ice axe, which, you know, is a nice cleaver. You can level it up and it can give you particular attacks. Like there's one attack where you called, I think it was called Knives of Ice or something, where you dig your axe into the ground and you send like a spray of stalagmites straight up into somebody.
So ice shards, basically.
Yeah, ice shards straight into them. You can throw the axe at targets, and if you do, you can press a button and it comes flying back to your hand like
Thor, a boomerang.
Like Thor's hammer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, seriously, like you can throw it, and, you know, it can embed in something or it can miss entirely and clatter onto the ground, but you press a button, it just comes flying back to your hand.
Okay.
You don't have to, like, throw it at an angle to ensure that it comes back to you.
Okay.
It's quite cool that, because during the game, it's not just fighting, you also do puzzles, and the axe is used
in
puzzles
as
well.
It's not a gimmick, in other
words. No, it's actually a useful mechanic. Then you've got your son, Atreus, and we'll talk about the story in a minute, but basically, mechanically speaking, he's in battle, he's a spam attack. Okay. Like you can fire arrows with him at creatures that are attacking you, which give them some damage, a little bit of damage, but most important, what they do is they distract the creature from you, and he attacks your idiot son, and you can hit him from behind a lot easier. Atreus, incidentally, cannot be killed, so there's no guilt in turning these things on Atreus and him getting clubbed, and thank God there are no kind of escort missions in the game at all. Other than that, yeah, I mean, it's set in an open world, which is a different one.
Something's happening with the mic.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay. Every now and then, it just freaks out.
It's set in an open world. Well, I say open world. Like I would call it a massive open corridor. but like, you know, with God of War's, it was just a very linear one end to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of this one, you can start here. You can start in one particular place, go to another place, come back, explore the areas around it, go backtrack to that place once you've opened up another weapon, which may help you get to a chest or a door or something that you couldn't get to without that weapon or without that power. The map, really, will take about 30-odd hours to rinse, I think, and that's if you cane it. There's a lot of game in there, and it looks stunning.
I don't know, you say that, and 30 hours is like what I've put into, like, Formula One 2017.
Yeah, well, I mean, there you go.
Well, it depends on the type of game that you play.
But yeah, it looks stunning. In fact, it's actually had a visual upgrade since it was first revealed at E3 a couple of years ago, which is interesting because it usually happens the other way around.
Yeah,
usually.
Yeah,
we're talking to you, Watch Dogs. And
that poor game is never going to live that down.
No, that's the thing. In video games, you commit one sin, that is it.
Forever.
You know,
poor Ubisoft. I actually enjoy their games.
I do as well. But let's see, what else? Okay, then there's the story, and the story is the bonding of a father and his son.
Hence, Dad of War.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of like humanizing Kratos, which I think that, you know, even if you don't agree with the way that it goes, it kind of had to happen. Because Kratos had become so one note by the end of God of War 3 that he was just like, his dialogue could all be replaced with, you know, that's literally it. Whereas in this one, there's a kind of tenderness between the pair of them. Atreus is desperate for his father's approval, but he always just gets criticism. And you find out that basically Kratos, who hasn't told his son he's a god, is just terrified that his son is starting to exhibit the same sort of traits he has, like bloodlust and anger, and he's worried that his son is going to turn into him.
Well, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, does it?
It certainly doesn't. And there are revelations aplenty in the story, which I won't go into, but anyone who has played God of War will know that in the final moments and in the final exchanges in the story between Atreus and Kratos, there is a line of dialogue that goes, oh my, that you listen to and go, oh my word, that opens up so many possibilities in the sequel. So I'll leave you on that note. It's amazing.
I'm never going to play this game, though, because it's a PlayStation 4 exclusive, and I'm not going to buy a PlayStation 4.
We can always come around to mine and play it.
Yeah, but do you think I'm going to sit there for 30 hours and, hey, Nick, I'm going to just cane this game very quickly?
Well, I mean, I'll leave you some keys and I'll go and have like a real life.
Real life? What is that? There are only games.
The thing about it is that I would say it's an objectively good game, but I didn't warm to it as much as the other ones.
Has the camera angle had anything to do with that?
Well, I mean, I really never had much of an issue with the camera angles in the God of War games. And this one's just over the shoulder the entire time.
That's the biggest change.
Unless a cutscene comes and then it sort of unhooks and comes around. I mean, what's really impressive is the whole game takes place in one take. There aren't loading screens at all, unless you count the like millisecond loading screen that happens when you die.
Makes sense, though. I mean, yeah.
When you die and
they can't reverse the character model on screen. That'd be weird.
Well, I mean, they did that. Well, there was a game that did that in the past, which I thought was great. Remember
Wasn't
the
it Prince like of Strange?
No, Prince of
it also
well, that. Prince of Persia. Whenever you died in the PS2 Prince of Persia.
Oh yes, I remember.
Sorry,
that.
Can we just died in inverted commas because you don't actually die in that game?
Okay, when the character died in Prince of Persia.
When mistakes were made.
Well,
basically, whenever you saw the Prince of Persia's cadaver lying on the ground in that PS2 game.
Yeah, then it reversed.
No. When you hit restore, you'd hear the prince go, "Wait, that didn't happen that way," and then it just reversed to where it was. Because the thing is, the whole thing's told as a story that happened. Yeah. And so, like every time of day, it's like, "Wait a minute, it didn't happen like that."
I really dislike that game for that one sole thing.
Really,
that you could not die. Well, it was like, let me die. Let me be punished for my mistake.
I think you need to play Dark Souls then.
Well, I mean, you never died in BioShock. You didn't have a problem with that.
I never liked BioShock.
Oh, right.
I was Maybe never a fan.
But yeah, so combat in God of War, it's one of the things where it's worth learning the combos. It's worth remembering you have a shield. It's worth timing your attacks. It's worth parrying. Stuff like you never really needed to worry about at all in the first God of Wars. The first God of Wars were basically Devil May Cry for people who couldn't be bothered to learn any combos.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you is it kind of moving away from that Devil May Cry sort of
slash? That's gone.
Okay.
I mean, this game, I would say, the combat in the last Devil May Cry game, which admittedly was made by Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
But Capcom handled all the mechanics for that.
Okay.
It's way harder than that.
Okay.
Like, way harder. I mean, and there are some, when you go off on side missions, like, you can do things like free a dragon, for example, who's being held in place by a rune, and you have
Sounds
to go...
Sounds way more exciting than going fishing.
Yeah, we go around this area sort of like breaking these runes to free the dragon. You'll run into enemies who literally can kill you with one shot.
Okay, fair enough. I understand. I mean, it's set in a mythological universe. And
kill you with one shot, and they have armor that you have to hack away at like 8 minutes before you can actually score a decent hit on them.
Okay, so can you run away? Can you run away?
Yeah, you can run away. Oh, no, once you're actually locked into that battle.
You can't run away?
You can't run away.
Okay.
I remember going to this particular battle where I climbed up a rock face.
Yeah.
And went in and fought this guy, and I was like down to like my last part of energy. I thought, well, sod this for a laugh, I'll run. And I went to the ledge, and the prompt to allow me to get out of that room was
disabled.
Gone.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So you're stuck there until that confrontation's over.
That's a bit terrible, though, because what happens if you just cannot do it?
Well, it'll reload, and then you'll be outside the room, and then you can ignore it.
There is a spot where it's like, okay, cool, I can go back.
It's a lot harder than earlier games. It's a lot better looking than earlier games. It's got perhaps a more touching story than earlier games. It's bigger than earlier games. Perhaps the one thing that I didn't like about it overall was it doesn't make you feel like a god. You don't feel like a god in it.
Do you feel like a dad, though?
No, you don't.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the thing is, what I used to love about God of War was like it would start with some woman, Gaia, I think it was, sort of, telling you, "In the days of old, Kratos, the god of war," and like, and you'd be in a boat or like some
That's
city.
That's a really good impersonation.
And you'd be in a boat or you'd be like in a city somewhere, and then like, then an enemy the size of the Albert Hall would kind of lumber into view, and you're like, Johan Sam! And he like runs straight at this thing, and you see this diminutive little thing running towards something that's like, you know, 18 stories high, and you'll start off with a boss battle that takes you 10 minutes. I mean, I think the third one, you literally started the game fighting on the back of a titan climbing up the side of Mount Olympus, and then you ended that by killing Poseidon from his perspective and gouging his eyes out with your thumbs.
So, good times. Is it a must play? And by extension, does that make it a system seller?
Because
it isn't exclusive to the PS4.
I think at this stage, if you don't own a PS4, they don't have anything coming out that's going to convince you. I mean, they already have a very good clutch of exclusives. You know, you've got Horizon Zero Dawn, you've got Uncharted 4, you've got The Last of Us in the pipeline.
Yeah.
You've got, Last of Us 2. What else has come out? I mean, there's loads of things. God of War just came out.
There's Bloodborne.
Bloodborne as well. Uncharted, the second Uncharted game last year, which was pretty damn good.
Lost Legacy.
Lost Legacy. Was there a PS4 exclusive at the end of last year? I'm sure there was.
I can't.
Gran Turismo, wasn't that?
Gran Turismo, that was awesome, you know, and like, you know,
Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh,
yeah.
The last Guardian that people have been waiting how many years for? Like over a decade.
Yeah.
And then like in the pipeline you've got Detroit
Become Human,
which by the way I played the demo for, which is quite interesting. And there's another one in the pipeline for this year, isn't there? It's that zombie one.
Oh,
Days Gone.
Hasn't it been delayed till 2019 though?
Could have been.
I think it was delayed because
point is we've already rattled off a ton of exclusives.
Yeah,
right. And these are stuff that like they're coming recently. I mean, so and that's leaving aside like, you know, exclusive content with Ubisoft games and exclusive content with EA games and exclusive content with Activision games, most notably Destiny, because Bungie doesn't like Microsoft anymore. And like, you know, so like I said, if you don't own a PS4 yet,
now's the time to get one.
Now's the time to get one because there's a hell of a lot of games out there that even if you don't fancy paying like full price for the God of War right now, there's tons of stuff you can get at a snip that's like a year, 2 years old.
Yeah.
And like because the PS4 Pro is out and the PS4 4K is out and all that, you know, you can buy an old PS4 for a fairly reasonable price now. I think it actually costs less than a Nintendo Switch. You know,
I think it does. Yeah,
and that's the thing, is it like,
unconfirmed, but our suspicions are good.
Yeah. But so is it a system seller? I wouldn't buy a PS4 just for God of War.
Okay,
but I would say if you own a PS4 and you don't buy God of War, you're cutting your nose off to spite your face.
Okay,
cool.
So
with a big axe.
I think we do need to mention something though. Jason Momoa. Confirmed for South African Comic Con or Comic Con Africa,
Comic-Con.
CCA, whatever it's called.
No, I would like to call it cool. Comic Con South Africa because it's in South Africa, and I'm tired of Africa being referred to as this big mass thing where we're all the same.
But we are part of Africa.
Why don't you just call it Comic Con Wakanda?
Because Wakanda's not a real place, Nick. Sorry, America.
You take that back.
Sorry, but it's not.
Okay.
But so he's one of the first, I believe, to be confirmed.
To be confirmed
by Reed Exhibitions.
Yes.
There were rumors of other people.
Apparently, they're in talks.
Officially, they're in talks. Okay, but we've got Aquaman.
Now,
if we can get Batman.
If we can get Khal Drogo, oh, we've already got him.
Yeah. If we can get Batman and the Joker, though, from the Arkham games.
Oh, what? You mean Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill?
No, not the other
Well, that's
the other two.
Well, those are the guys.
The other two people did voiceovers for the games.
Oh, right.
You know, the ones that were rumored to be coming here.
Did Nolan North
do a Batman.
All right.
And Troy Baker did a Joker.
Is there any game he's not in? There's some PC games he's not in. I know he's not in any of the.
He's not in Hearthstone.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not in Dota. He might be in Dota though. He might actually be in Dota. I think he's a voiceover.
You remind me of the chief in South Park. Well, you ain't in Hearthstone, and if you ain't in Hearthstone, I don't give a.
So yeah, Comic-Con takes place from the 14th to 16th of September at Kyle Army
Convention Center.
It's a it's like Kyle Army International Convention Event Center place. What, there's a there'll be a link at the bottom of the story with the news that Khal Drogo slash Aquaman slash what else was he in?
Oh, he's been in southern stuff. He was in an assassin film with Sylvester Stallone called Bullet to the Head. Yeah. He was Conan.
Oh yes, Conan the Barbarian. He was.
He's in a thing on Netflix at the moment called Frontier, which is essentially about this bloke who has realized that the colonizers are really screwing over the locals, and so he's decided to basically these two kind of nebbish colonialists are sent out to have a chat with him, and it's like having a chat with the flesh-eating man of the mountain, which, you know, because playing that's a real stretch for Jason Momoa. I mean, you'd never think of him as
I was hoping that he would play Deathstroke. This is Deathstroke, yeah. In
the Justice League.
Yeah.
Well, the guy playing the guy Deathstroke in the Justice League is the bloke who played it in Arrow, and he's very good.
He was very good for that role. I mean, he was like born to play that role, honestly.
But yeah, you see, the thing is, that the first time I ever saw Jason Momoa was in he played a
character. Was it a rom com?
No, he was a character called Ronan in Stargate Atlantis.
Oh wow, that is going back. Yeah. My gosh. That'll be interesting. So I wonder what he's going to talk about. Aquaman, obviously.
Well, yeah, he signed up for a solo Aquaman film.
Obviously, everybody's going to ask him about Khal Drogo. And
well, what can Doc you say Racky. About him? He's dead.
Well, I mean,
I don't care if you don't know that.
They'll ask him, how long did it take you to learn Dothraki?
How long did it take you to turn your body into a meatpacking factory? Because, like, if you see, look at him in Conan, and you look at him in Game of Thrones, and you're like, between those two, you know, he went around lifting houses. You know
what?
I mean, he is huge in Game of Thrones.
I mean, he is huge.
I mean, he's cut and he's very tall and muscular in Conan, but like, he's huge in Game of Thrones.
Absolutely massive. And then we got the first full trailer for Venom.
Yeah,
which looks really good.
Even though you have an issue with it,
it's not really an issue. I'm kind of just a little bit bummed about it because one of my favorite story arcs in across all geekdom is the Spider-Man symbiote Venom story arc. How Spider-Man gets infected with the symbiote or gets the symbiote. Mm. Decides that it isn't for him, and then it finds Eddie Brock, and then they become mortal enemies. Mm. Like, that for me is one of the coolest villain stories to come out, and they just kind of gloss over it.
Mm. Here's the thing. Take at least some solace in that while that they may have taken that storyline and, you know, put it to one side and created their own lore, they didn't bugger it up like they did in Spider-Man 3.
What was Spider-Man? Which one was Spider-Man 3?
See, you don't even remember this.
Was Spider-Man 3 the one with...
Sandman.
Sandman. What was his name?
Topher Grace from... Yeah.
Electro...
Spider-Man 3...
Oh, we're not talking about the amazing Spider-Man.
No, we're talking about Spider-Man 3 basically. With Tobey Maguire being infested with the symbiote.
Oh, that just made him look sneaker.
And then just walk down the street looking like a chop.
Okay, yeah. Right? Yeah, no, that was terrible.
Okay, so that which would you rather have?
I prefer this. And I do really like Tom Hardy as a villain.
Yeah. But he's not really a villain in that. He's kind of this conflicted anti-hero.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I loved about Venom, though. He wasn't actually like a bad guy to begin with. He was kind of like
conflicted.
Mm. Like the symbiote and him having conversations, and I really when he was walking down the street in the trailer and he says he says something and I was like, oh yes. Mm. Oh yes.
We can't if you're going really to stay here, we can't hurt anybody.
Yes. Mm. Like I really, really love that. But I think it's gonna be awesome. And especially with the Avengers that whole MCU coming to an end.
Yeah, but that's going to take
Avengers
a few years.
Infinity War. Yeah, it's going to take a few years.
Well, I mean, I have a theory on that. I think it's going to come to an end and they're going to reboot a hell of a lot because, as you know, I think it's Disney's in talks to buy sections of Fox. Like, to buy sections of 20th Century Fox.
Yeah, which means X-Men.
Which means that when you reboot it, the X-Men will be part of the universe. And already Spider-Man's been returned to from Sony. And the last Fantastic Four film was a flop, not least because...
What do you mean last? All of them were terrible.
Yeah, they're all terrible, but the last one was a sizable flop.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
New cast.
Because I was trying to reboot it. Well, also because unlike the first couple of Fantastic Fours, this particular Fantastic Four, Marvel were like, well, we're not doing any publicity for it. We're not promoting it in any of our comics. We're not going to license any toys, and we're not going to do this, and we're not going to do that. You know, if you won't give us our ball, you know, if you won't give us the goals, then we're taking our ball and we're going home.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for God's sake, when the X-Men weren't returned to them, they started to try to kill them off in the comic books. You know, it's like the Inhumans have plague, which affects mutants. Oh, I wonder if all the mutants will die. Are you listening, 20th Century Fox? You know, you wouldn't believe that these corporations are run by adults, would you?
No. So yeah, maybe, I don't know. I'm just looking forward to Venom.
Looking forward to Venom. I like Tom Hardy as an actor.
Yeah,
and I like Riz Ahmed as well.
Yeah, he was a really nice surprise to see in that trailer.
You know who the Venom? If anyone had said to you, you know who the villain in the new Venom film is, you wouldn't go, I know, Riz Ahmed. That guy from Ill Manners. That guy from Closed Circuit.
Yeah,
the rapper from England. The rapper from England, who apart from an Ill Manners, seems to have been making a career out of being very straight-laced corporate people. I wonder what that is all about.
What else has he been in?
He was in Shifty, which I doubt anyone outside me and three of my friends saw.
I haven't seen it.
Never heard of
but
that.
But he was basically, he was in something called, he was in The Night Of.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that series.
Okay.
Which basically showed if, well, I don't want to spoil it. So this is good stuff.
Yeah, I think I just need to check the time.
Does that wrap us for this week?
Yes, it does, actually.
Well, in that case, I should probably say goodbye.
Yes, because this is the last time that you are joining us for an HTXT Africast. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it might not be the last time. I mean, if you're desperate and I have a day off, I'll come back, but... This is my last.
No, it's fine. We don't need it.
Okay. This is the last official. This is my last podcast as officially as managing editor for this site. It's been a nice 3 years.
It's been 3 years.
It's been 3 years. Wow. Yeah.
It has been 3 years. Hey.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember when we first started recording these podcasts, we were in a hot box tin roofed thing in Norwood.
And in the winter, it was freezing.
It was freezing. Yeah.
Man. So, yes.
Those weren't the days.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Nick, for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Joining us for this last podcast of yours.
Yeah, well, thank you
very much.
Could
have been easy for you to have just abandoned us, but you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Good, thank you.
Although I do have Thursday off. You're on your own.
Damn! All right. But from the rest of us, from Sahil Lala, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for joining us.
And from myself, Brendan Lutz, we will see you next week. Cheerio.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.